Imagine this. You're standing on a train. The train is moving faster and faster. The speed is starting to get out of control. And you're stuck with two options. You either stay on the train at an unbearable speed, or you jump off, risking getting hurt and falling into the rocks with all of this speed underneath you. What do you do? Sometimes life feels that way, doesn't it? It's moving too fast, and to jump off would be doom. I think success and the growth and pursuit of that can also feel like this, whether you're quitting your job or building a business where you've worked really hard to create success, and it can be really scary to see how fast it's going and how much change is ahead. And it can be equally as scary to think about failing and crumbling underneath all the pressure. In today's coaching conversation, we've got a very special guest. Chuck Robinson is here with us. He's been a part of one of our coaching programs, and I've watched him change and grow so much. And like all of us, we can get frustrated and stuck being afraid of success and being afraid of failure, where pressure is building in your transition from your W-2 to your new life. And I can promise you that this conversation, thinking about transition, is true for most of us, where the next level scares us and to go down also scares us, to bottom out. So this tactical, crunchy conversation about what you can do will help you if you feel like you're stuck between a rock and a hard place with growth and expansion or succumbing to all the pressure that you're under. Let's talk about high performance today. Chuck, welcome to the show. Let's do some background. I've been very lucky to have had you in one of our longer programs. So we're coming up on a retreat next week. We'd spend a lot of, or this week in 3 days. So I'll get to see you and spend time, which means that we've lapsed through a couple months of work together. And I've seen you change. I've seen the, just energetically, you've got a whole different spirit going into some of these things. Some really cool accolades have happened. Some notoriety has happened. Let's just kind of zoom out. Where are you today? And you mentioned that this Saturday gave you pause, right? It forced you to really assess whether you want to keep going with this thing. So what is the thing? And walk me through Saturday.
Sure. So the got introduced to a year ago, jumped in on the Emerge community, then met you through the Chicago Emerge event, joined your grouping, your coaching group that you offered. And so everything has been predicated on leaving, you know, stepping out of my W-2 career of an IT career of 32 years. And the one thing I've always done is work with my hands. So the one piece that I got out of a project, couple projects I did was doing epoxy countertops, and which also lends to epoxy basement floors and garage floors. And there's a bunch of other products that are, you know, in the surfacing community. And so I've, for several years, I've had a side hustle doing, a counter, you know, epoxy countertops, and I'm trying to expand that and worked over the last year to sort of bring that to fruition, to be able to step out of my W-2 and go after that as a career. And, one of the jobs that I'm just finishing up, building new countertops and actually then pouring the countertops. Saturday was not a stellar day in the world of pouring a countertop. Something happened to the first batch of epoxy that I mixed. I don't know if it was a bad batch. I don't know if I overmixed it. I still have no idea. My brother-in-law was assisting me with it, and he's helped me before. And all of a sudden, this bucket of epoxy started setting up and really just threw me for a bit of a loop. Wasn't the proudest moment. I was real, real frustrated, really, really frustrated. And it just ended up being a relatively bad day where I drove home in silence, really contemplating, like, is this the train that I want to be on? And I'm not talking like the train is at the station or needs wheels put on it or coal put it. I'm talking like the train is moving, like it's rolling. And If I could show you the calendar on my wall right here, you would see the different colors that are on my calendar and the jobs that are booked. And I just got confirmation that somebody wants to book another one today. And so things are moving. And so, you know, when I stop and think about it, of, you know, my age, I'm 53 and I've got, a lot wrapped into a career that I never really chased. I never really went after. I'm pretty much done with it. I don't have any drive for it anymore. I don't have any really determination for it anymore. The bad part about it is it pays really, really well, which that sounds bad. That sounds weird to say that the bad part about it is that it pays well, but that's the honest God truth. And on Saturday when I came home, I sat with my wife and my daughter and, talked to both of them and really just was really honest with them about it and said, it was just bad. And I, it just feels like it's failing or I got a failure coming my way. And my daughter and wife both assured me like, this is not a failure. This is just a piece of the way the job is or could be, which helped, but it hasn't dislodged that thought out of my head. But I'm also a little bit under the weather. I came down sick Saturday night, so I'm a little bit under the weather. So that my wife tells me I'm not a very good patient, so as most men probably aren't. So it could be lending to those thoughts right now. I don't know.
Okay. I hear a couple things here that we can dig on. And I resonate with having a long day on Saturday. So this is great. Brilliant. The piece about Saturday that's interesting to me, how many times have you had a day like that inside of this business?
Oh, in this business, it hasn't been often. And most of the work that I've done, the one piece that I know that I recognize is there was a second person in the room with me when I was doing this, which it's not the individual. It's the fact that there was another person there. It's not who it was, right? It was another person. And there was, I think I probably tried to do too much at once with it. I poured a larger bucket of epoxy than I normally do, because I figured I had two people and I could pour the base coat and then we could come back. And if the epoxy would have been acting correct, there would have been zero problem with that. It would have went perfectly well. That is not what happened, which then all I saw was, 2 days of man hours building the countertops, getting them in place, getting them ready to go, getting to the point where we're able to pour, the cost of that, with what I'm being paid to do the countertops, with the cost of the hours. And so it was just all rolling on top of me. Like, if this fails with this epoxy, then it's, if I have to pull these back out and rebuild them, it's another set of man hours, another set of money. So it was all these things sort of stacking on top of each other. So that was what was different about most of the other jobs that I've done. So culminating on, when I was doing those jobs, it was just a side hustle. There was no coming out of my W-2 at the time, right? There was no pressure. It was a job, and now the pressure of, this is what I'm going to do and run this, build this company up to do.
Here's a quick synopsis. You could tell me if I'm off base.
Sure.
The foreverness of the moment was heavy.
Explain that.
When I first started in business, when I would have a bad day or I was doing work that I didn't really want to be doing, my mind and the little voice in there that loves to tell me all the negativity that exists in the world would like fixate on, I'm stuck doing this and it's always going to be this way. Okay. So the difficulty and the foreverness started to get very, very heavy, very fast.
Yep. Okay. Yes.
Okay. Number two, talk about stacking. These things definitely stack. the shift from side hustle to I'm serious about this not only adds pressure, it creates a demand for a certain level of performance and also creates a very hyper sensitivity to not getting it right. Because when it's a side hustle, if you get it wrong, it's not the end of the world. You just go back to work. Now, though, right. You've got things riding on this. You've got consequence for failure. So statement number two would be there's now heightened consequence and awareness of heightened consequence.
Yes. 100. Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Cool. So that we're starting to build this box here. Three, just based on the way that you described this, the future of the business might feel like you doing more, not you doing less. So the idea of like, if it is going really well, this is just going to happen more because I'm going to have to do it more. And all of a sudden, the like magnitude of more starts to weigh really heavy on us too.
Yes.
All right. And then number four, to complete the square, I've got a lot of this work laid out. Have I overcommitted? Is success coming and I'm not ready for it? If it is, am I going to be able to hold it? Am I going to be able to do this? Do I trust myself?
Yeah, I don't think it's a trust thing. I believe I trust myself, but you're right on the overcommitment. And actually, it's almost opposite of the overcommitment in some of the aspects where how do I have enough? Like, is there enough work that's going to be in my realm, right? To continue being able to bring in, you know, money to cover our expenses and then some. You know, the and then some part of it may not be immediate, which I'm not concerned about that. It's the idea of being able to cover what we need it to cover for us and then not become overwhelming with the actual managing of it.
Okay. Things that build over time, things that you won't get right away.
Correct.
Just an interesting paradox, right? Will I have enough? And if I do have enough, will it look the same?
Right.
I would argue that does go back to trust. Not like the simple, do I trust myself? Because I know that you know you. Almost, do I trust myself in a situation where it's not going well or it's going incredibly well and it's going to be easy? I have had a very hard time trusting myself when it's easy because my nervous system was always conditioned to believe that if it was easy, it was bad for me or it wasn't worthwhile or it was going to be stripped away from me.
Gotcha.
When you describe the train, it's very interesting to me the way you describe the train. Right, it's not building it, doesn't need coal, it's moving.
Yeah, it definitely feels like it's moving.
Yeah, and I don't know if have you skied or snowboarded? Ski or snowboarded? Skateboard?
When I was a kid, motorcycle. Right. So I ride a motorcycle. I own a bike, a motorcycle.
Yeah, you and I have talked about that before. We align on that. Little bit different on a motorcycle because this is not how you would do it. I'll use the metaphor of skiing and sure. Then we'll connect it to a motorcycle. When people ski for the first time or the second time or the third time and they start going too fast, they freak out and they fall. On a motorcycle, probably less so the case, but I do think there is still an experience on a motorcycle where you're like, I think I'm moving too fast. I'm out of control or I don't want to get on the highway because like, whoa, like I can drive on the road, but the highway, like that's too much.
Yeah, to round that and put it into my context, when I owned a smaller bike than I currently do, when I went and traded in my smaller bike for the one that I currently do, riding it home the first time, basically following my wife, and she was in the car. It was a big bike. Like, it was twice the size of the bike that I was riding. So it was very intimidating on this much bigger bike. It didn't felt as if I didn't have the control that I did with the smaller one, because I was obviously used to the smaller one. Now that's not even an issue. Like, I can get on that thing and take it anywhere I need to.
Very similar to your business.
Yes.
Oh, it's a bigger bike. Oh, it doesn't maneuver the same way. Okay. All right. Can I handle it? Am I ready for it? Am I going to crash this thing? Is it going to burn? The train is moving. You don't have to worry about the movement of the train, but what may worry you is the speed of the train. And I think that, just to create the full square here, these things that we've talked about essentially help create a feeling of being trapped. Like, I'm trapped with this business. I'm trapped in this moment, right? The foreverness of the moment, the heavy, the pressure, the responsibility, the like edge that now is upon me when I fail is much different. All these things kind of wrap in to say, holy shit, man, I'm on this train and it's moving mighty fast.
Your words have brought up something that I've been sort of feeling about this whole process, is that I've gotten to a point where I've worked it into a situation where it is moving in. I've got a little bit of traction moving with it in. It's as if I'm almost now on the ride. And if I didn't want to stay on the ride, I don't have a choice. Like, I've built this, it's moving. People around me know that I've built this and it's moving. People know that I've been working towards this and talking about this and getting it going. And now it's like, okay, well, I've committed. I'm now going with it. But want to or not.
Well, and here's an interesting, I'll use the word paradox again. Like, it's a bind, right? A bind is when neither option presented works for us. And when we're in a bind, we don't move. Right. So the bind that I hear is the train is moving really fast. And the speed is something I'm not fully comfortable with yet. There's a lot of different elements of this, the pressure, the failure responses, the foreverness of it. And the train is going like, whew. Man, oh man, can I maintain this? And then we'll use the metaphor of the train. If I'm on the train and the train's moving hella fast and I move to the edge where I can potentially jump off, I'm like, well, hold on, man. I'm about to get hurt if I jump when it's moving this fast. So I don't want to jump off the train either. Because what about my reputation? What about what I've told everybody? What about all the energy I put in? What about all the investment that I've made into this? This is my ticket out, and here I'm about to bail out. What am I doing?
Yes.
It's an interesting bind.
Doesn't feel interesting.
Well, here's why psychologically it's interesting. Because this is simultaneously a fear of failure and a fear of success. Staying on the train is the fear of success. Getting off the train is the fear of failure.
Yes.
So what's happened and what has scaffolded is, I want, I'm not sure what I want. And now the bind has this like grip because of the lack of commitment to what you want. So in some ways, what we've got to figure out is, how can we articulate and make what you want really clear? Because when it's clear, it will feel like you can move forward. My small guess, small bet, would be that staying on the train is what you want. But the complexity of it and maybe the foreverness of it, like, I'm going to be doing this physical thing forever, or it's always going to feel this way. I'm always going to dot, 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 dot. All the emotions that came up Saturday, especially on a hard day, that's really easy. It feels like the hard days overshadow the 47 good days we had before them. And the foreverness of that is probably more scary than anything else. So staying on the train has this looming thing. And I know deep down that it will not be that, but that might be the fear, is that if I stay on this train and it's moving this fast, it's only going to get worse. Can I handle more days like Saturday? Do I even want to be a part of more days like Saturday? Like, that sucked.
So what's coming up?
Yeah, I know that days like Saturday will appear. I'm a positive of that. I'm not ignorant to the fact that there are hard days. I have hard days in my W-2. You know, there are such, you know, definitely some things, especially industry I'm in. Hard days are usually not days that you bring upon yourself. You know, it's somebody, a breach happens or somebody clicks on the wrong email, and all of a sudden your day is just taken over by this thing that somebody else did to you. And now you have to solve this issue. But the piece that I worked hard to, and I tried and I dissected the Saturday and tried to lean into some of the things that we've learned through our coaching and through the community, and leaning into finding the lessons in it of how that could have been better. And talking to my brother-in-law about it and how we could improve the process of what we did over those 3 days. And, you know, trying to think what would help stem that by putting processes in place or a checklist in place, you know, just making sure that I'm prepared when I go to do these jobs and do them in this certain way. And that alleviates a lot of that contention. But there's nothing you can do when you pour two chemicals out of a bottle and mix them together and they act like they have never acted before. Ever acted before. And now you're in this sheer panic. And really it was a plus and a minus. A more of a plus than a minus, but still there was some minus there having another person there, because if it wasn't for the fact that my brother-in-law was there, what the end result would not have turned out like it did. He sort of stayed calm and sort of walked through and assisted in fixing the situation the best to our abilities. And unfortunately, I haven't seen the final product yet, because I didn't go yesterday because, as I said, I've been under the weather. But when we're done here, I'm leaving and going to go have a look at it and do the final step to it. So, yeah.
So a moment has been made into a mountain.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
It has. If we aggregated all of your epoxy experiences and all of the things that have happened, even the things that haven't gone well, this moment has probably eclipsed much of your progress, much of your growth, much of your mindset, much of your expansion, much of your effort. It just has this magnitude to it that's huge. Yes, or yes?
Feels huge. Feels very huge.
Okay. So we need to dismantle the moment back to just a moment. Just a moment. That's all it was. There's a couple ways to look at that. We can try to stack evidence that says otherwise and almost in a way, create a comparative that says, well, here's a small moment and here's a small moment. Does it look like one of these? Oh, it is just like one of these small moments, just another moment. Okay, well, now it has reduced in size and doesn't have the kind of power that a mountain might have. The other way to look at it is to say, all right, well, if this is in fact a mountain, can we look at other mountains that you've conquered, that you've walked across, that you found, that you've discovered, that you've hiked? When we start a hike, I don't know if you do this, but anytime I go for a hike, you know, you look at this many feet of elevation gain and you pull up all trails, it's 6 miles there and back, and you start doing all the calculations, right? How long is it going to take? What all da, 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 da. And before you know it, if you set all that aside, it's just another hike. Like, there's very, unless you're hiking like a really serious mountain, for the most part, it's just a rock walk. Like, it's all it is. We're just rocking. Right. We're walking. It's cool. So which one of those feels more within realm of capability? Is it to look at other mountains and say like, hey, okay, let's compare it to other mountains? or is it to shrink the moment down and compare it to other moments?
I think it's moments. Because the overall picture of, if we just take this project, this job, and the completion of it, barring me walking in this evening and finding a complete total disaster, which I'm not expecting to find, the moment was just highlighted by the fact that this process that I've done, and I mentioned before, multiple times, enough times to where I know the process and the mixes and you know, the mixing the ratios and mixing it for the time we need to mix it and blending the color into it and everything, all that other stuff, just, you know, 10 minutes after I mix this giant bucket of stuff out and I'm dumping it out, I start noticing that it's not the same. It's starting to firm up when it hasn't before. So I think the moment compared to another moment would probably be the best. So I don't think it's a mountain. Well, maybe, I mean, if I think about it in a different light, it could be a mountain because of me thinking like, am I just going to stop this? Am I just going to stop? Right. And I know pivoting is a thing, but it would sure feel like a gigantic failure and loss to pivot now.
It wouldn't be a pivot. It'd be running.
Because the one thing that I do know is that I'm not doing it on a daily basis, leaving my house and going to do that work. Right.
Right.
I have an entire life that I have to tend to in my W-2 and then tend to that.
Yes. Yeah. It wouldn't be pivoting. It'd be running.
Yes.
And that's important. Cool. No.
100%.
Well, I'll tell you a story, man. I walked on to a Division I college soccer program, and I think that my mindset then was so poor. It was so volatile, and I had not had a lot of high-level experiences and definitely not high-level coaching, so it was like very new, and I was always like a deer in headlights. One game I'm in, and my buddy, his name is Daniel, gets into the box, tackled, PK. And I sit at the edge of the box and I'm like, this is my moment. I don't know why I had this inclination. I was like, this is my moment. Like, if a keeper blocks it, I'm going to be right there. And like in my head, I'm all about this moment. Dan hits it. I don't know if it hit the post or hit the keeper, but I can remember almost as if time stalled, the ball just like spun. Went wide of the goal, but it spun there, just like hovered there, and I'm ripping for it. And I hit it, and I didn't turn my body well, and I missed. Missed the whole goal. And I have never felt a wave of embarrassment to that extent. That here was this moment just right there. Both teams can see it. Coach can see it. Fans can see it. Probably my parents can see it. Like, who knows? Everybody.
Sure.
Abysmal failure. And I had to keep playing the rest of the game. And I was hard on myself for a long time because of that. That moment haunted me for a very, very long time. I can go back to that moment over and over and over. And I could feel who I was and how I was feeling then. It didn't just have the sting of failure. It had the like visibility of failure as well. And that moment became so big because here was a layup in theory, right? An easy goal. And I botched it. And it's very easy to translate that and say, okay, well, anything that's easy for me, I'm going to botch. And it's very easy to make this whole belief structure out of like this one silly moment. Like, dude, no one cares. No one cares. No right. one like calls me and is like, hey, bro, you remember that moment, bro? No one like sends me tweets and is like, dude, I hate you. And, you know, I don't get death threats because of it. It's gone. The moment's gone. College soccer game. Who cares? Right. It's not my career now. and didn't define who I became or my value. In the moment, difficult, yes. But looking at that moment and looking at the number of players across the globe, college and above, even professionals, even World Cup, that miss an open net, it's a lot of players. It's a lot of players, right. No problem. So for me to look around and be like, okay, it just happened to me. Well, now I can say, well, I've seen Thierry Henry do it. I've seen Zidane do it. I've seen Ronaldo do it. I've seen all kinds of people do it. All kinds of professional levels to the extent that I would respect them. If I shook their hand, I would ask for their autograph on a jersey of theirs, and they have done it too. Okay. So the moment wasn't that big that it should collapse my whole psyche. The fact that you had someone observe you there probably is one of the more triggering parts of this, because you were the expert, you're the guy, and someone is watching you, someone that you love and care for too, makes it even more complicated. They watched you in a moment that was supposed to be your glory and instead was inglorious.
Correct.
But the moment is probably full of many times that you've had epoxy issues. Maybe not the same exact circumstance, but I'm sure you've dealt with failure in some capacity. You're doing stuff, making things happen. And it's like a liquid that you've got to pour I don't know enough about epoxy to really talk about it credibly, but you got to make something out of nothing.
Correct. Yes.
So are there other moments of failure that you can say, oh, well, maybe it wasn't exactly the same, but it's happened before?
Yeah, I did a friend's kitchen countertops, and he had picked a design that I had done before. And I literally had the design standing against the wall in the dining room that I could look at. And when I started moving and started actually making the pour and putting the design into it, I have no idea what I was pouring, but I wasn't doing what the sample design was. Came up fine. They said they liked it. I still question. I'm not sure if they were being polite or not. He's a very good friend of mine, and it would not surprise me if he actually afterwards had said, you know, this is nice, but why does it look like the other one? And when I show the kitchen to anybody else, everybody goes, wow, that looks really, really nice. That's amazing. I see nothing but a flaw. They see this beautiful countertop. And so, yeah, I mean, there's been, I've done enough of my hands and done enough work that there's always the possibility of, you know, something going awry. And really it is a matter of, over the last year, I've learned perspective. I've learned looking for those lessons. It's either, what does it say? It's either a win or a lesson. You don't win or lose, you win or learn, right? And so I've sort of adopted that idea of the win or learn. And once I'm past the moment and I can dissect the moment, I can go back and say, okay, what was wrong with the situation? I think a little bit of ego got in the way on Saturday also. Because my brother-in-law came with an idea of how to do a design, and I was like, yeah, go ahead. And he started doing it, and then I wanted to do, but basically what looks like veins in the countertop because we're making it look like stone, and my veins sort of messed things up. And him and I have gone over it again, and I looked at him on yesterday, and because we went over for dinner, and I looked at him yesterday, and I said, I wish I would have just let you continue on with your design. I got in the way. I wish I had let you continue with your design because it was working. So that I recognized that got in the way when what I should have done was just taking a step back.
Yeah, fitting place to be on the Get Out of Your Own Way show.
Yeah, yes, very so. Very much
hashtag
so.
Hashtag branding. well, look, I want to remind you that the reason we make a moment into a mountain is not because of perspective or happenstance. It's because of emotion. And when we pump emotion into a moment, it becomes very mountainous. And there are times where we want to do that. There are moments that we want to create a mountain out of. I don't know, the birth of your kid or getting married or, you know, a big celebration in business. Like, we want to flood the emotion and allow it to create a larger than life memory. We also can do that by accident when the emotions aren't necessarily positive, and then it becomes a very negative mountain, right? If I think back to an experience that I had, I was on a private island in the BVI, and I remember sitting and watching a game of chess being played by two guys, playing a game of pool, like all these really cool experiences were being had. I was not far away from being a dad, and I had to stop and pause and put the emotion into the moment so that it registered, right? That was such a powerful experience that I wanted to flood the emotion because I probably would have just skated by it. Wow, this is great, cool, no big deal. So we can almost choose and leverage when we do this. But if we pull the emotion back out of the moment, now it isn't a mountain. What you just did is you just ripped the emotion back out. Hey, like all these things started to happen. And just by talking it through, we've kind of situated this huge rock formation into a much smaller moment where without the emotion, it doesn't have the kind of like magnitude to pull you off. It doesn't necessarily solve the train problem, but it does prevent the stacking that happens when we're on a train and there's fears associated with success. And then this happens and there's another mountain on top. Then it just compounds really fast.
Right.
What that allows us to do is focus on the train. And that's what we can use the rest of our time for.
Yeah. And I find my fears, I find them silly. I find them very, to make sure my words are better on a podcast, very unmanly. I get irritated with myself because I believe where I'm going is where I should go, and I believe where I'm going is going to work. We've set ourselves up in a very good way that I have a lot of flexibility.
It's great.
And it's just pulling the trigger to say, hey, this is the train. This is where I'm going. This is a train that I built, and I'm headed this way.
Yep. So the train does excite you.
Very much so. Very much so. I have this vision of what it's going to look like. I have no idea how to hire in the first person. No clue how to actually maintain that. I do have an idea of what I need to be doing to be able to afford to do so. I do know that I'm going to have to trust in whoever it is that's in doing the work. That it's going to get done right. That we're not going to have to go and back and either sand it back out or rip it out or lay claim to it. Or, you know, it would be really nice to have business insurance and not have to do it. You know, have to use it. That would be a very nice thing to have happen. So there's some trust that I have to, but that's going to come with training and time and patience. So I have this vision and I have these ideas. But I also find that there's other pieces, parts that in my mind are stacking on, putting the stress on of things that I'm not getting accomplished or not doing. The who, not how theory, right? It's I don't know how to do all these things. I don't really need to know how to do all these things. I just need to know the right who's that know how to do these things.
And I think that one of the lies in entrepreneurship is that entrepreneurship is formulaic and is like a better Betty Crocker baking experience. That's not to say, like, the argument that I've heard against that is, well, every business is a lemonade stand, and I believe that, right? There are formulas to how to build a business, definitely, loose structure and direction, but every business is different. What you want is different. What you might do next is different. It's also based on circumstance, on resources, on skill set. Like, there's so many different variations. I mean to say that if you were to look at a Betty Crocker box label, you would have all the steps mapped out. And this one, you kind of only get one step at a time, right? It'd be like being on a game show for baking and they tell you what the next step is and you don't know what the step is after that. You just do the step and then they're like, okay, next, whip the eggs up and mix it with the batter. Okay, now you've done that. Here's the next step. So I think some of what will happen and probably why the bind is I'm afraid of success, I'm afraid of failure, is both of these will challenge one thing and they challenge the same thing. They challenge your relationship with the unknown because both represent the unknown.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
The bind then is representative of where your work is. The work being, I'm going to move into the unknown, and that will come with both success and failure. They exist simultaneously. They're not derivative of the one choice or the one way that you go. The train will encounter both success and failure. The way that you respond to that and the way that you can go into the next step without knowing the third step or the second step is going to be the determiner of how well this all unfolds for you. When you step into entrepreneurship full time, there's so much unknown. There's a wicked amount of unknowns. And also, the lie that we live in is that a W-2 has less of that.
I think the piece of the W-2 that, like the one piece of the career that I'm in is I can do most of whatever I do in my sleep, because I've worked my way there over the years. I've always been very good at taking on tasks that I did not know what they were, and not mastering them, but being efficient at them. I really consider myself in the industry a jack of all trades. There's not a mastery of any one thing. I'm just very good at pulling all the pieces together. And, you know, I consider the IT world the most blue collar, white collar job that's out there, right? Because you're building stuff. It doesn't exist. Like, I can't touch it. I can't touch anything that I do. Unlike a house where you give me a pile of wood as blueprints and I'll build a house, right? Epoxy countertop. Give me some counters or some cabinets need a top and I can measure them and cut them and put them in place and make this physical thing. Well, the same process happens in my W-2, that whole kind of concept. But the one piece of it is that I've been doing it for 32 years, and every Friday I get rewarded for that effort and shows up on my bank account, which is a very comforting thing. And that's sort of the way that people, in my mind, stay where they're at. There's some overarching concerns about staying, and there's some overarching concerns about leaving. And so it's just one of those things where I know that not taking the shot would be more detrimental to me in the long run than taking the shot.
I agree with that. And you'll come up with 1,000 different reasons why or why not. If your skill set in IT is finding efficiency and figuring out new dynamics and still working within them, constantly learning, being the jack of all trades, then you're very well equipped for entrepreneurship. Because that is what entrepreneurship is. People act like they have this stuff figured out. They don't have it figured out. It always changes. So you've already developed a skill set that directly translates. The important piece to remember is that you're moving into an area where there's a different responsibility, and success and failure exists inside of that responsibility. You have a success responsibility, you have a failure responsibility. But if we look at the fear of both of those and the relationship with the unknown, you now don't have the direct skills, hiring, accounting, bookkeeping, revenue. Like, you don't, maybe those things aren't direct, but in, if you zoom out far enough, I literally just had a conversation with a podcast guest today about this too. Like, if you zoom out far enough, the skills overlap directly. They don't overlap directly horizontally, but if you zoom out vertically, they overlap perfectly. Oh, you have a skill set of figuring it out.
Right.
That's your skill set. You're a figure outerer.
Figure out. Okay. I'm not sure I'm gonna see it on a t-shirt, but okay.
And maybe the credit that needs to be paid to yourself and the reminder to yourself is, hey, I can figure this out. It doesn't need to be perfect. I can take a step into the unknown. I can trust, this is back to the trust thing. I can trust myself in the unknown because I've got a PhD in figuring this out and figuring things out in navigating both failure and success. I have figured it out consistently. That's your story. You have a 100% track record of figuring it out.
That has been my career. I'm 32 years in a career, no college education, in the trenches, figuring it out. That's been my one piece that I've always been able to do.
And this is no different. All that's changing is the game.
Correct.
So imagine Tom Brady, best in class. Michael Jordan, best in class, right? Any sensational athlete.
Sure.
Moving over to a new sport. Well, are they going to be the best in the world at it? No, not right away. But they're going to grow way faster than most people because of the mindset that they have and the like physiology that they're used to. They understand how to practice.
Right.
Right. They understand how to figure it out. So when people say like, oh, Michael Jordan jumped to baseball and, you know, he didn't do well. He only did it for like 6 months. I don't know. I don't actually know how long it was, but it wasn't very long. It was like a season, right. Maybe two. And he made most of the minor league baseball players around him look foolish.
Right.
Now you could say, well, it was pure athleticism. I would argue it was not. He knew how to train better than they did. And when you look at what he was doing, he was there before, he was there after them. He was doing the same thing he did in basketball that made him successful. So you can do the same thing that you've done in IT and be successful. It's just a translation game. And what makes you proficient is not the IT. What makes you proficient is you know how to learn, you know how to adapt, you know how to grow. And that directly ties to this new endeavor. It's just a different sport.
Yeah, I see that. I see that.
When there's a bind, what we do is we look for option three. Anytime there's a bind, it'd be anything. Like, we're stuck between two choices of careers. We're stuck between two choices in, you know, a friendship, in a relationship. We're stuck between two choices with our health. We're stuck between two, like, always find option three. Whenever there's a bind, find option three. So option three might be, okay, I'm afraid of success. I'm afraid of failure. Option three might be, am I afraid of standing still? And can you just move forward? Because you're probably not afraid to move. But if you're afraid of success, it limits your options. If you're afraid of failure, it limits your options. But I don't think you're afraid to move. You're not afraid to try things. You're not afraid to experiment. You're not afraid to figure it out. And if you just start moving, option three would be, okay, just take a step, one step, one step. Then you're back in the unknown. After one step, now you're in the unknown. So from the unknown, you go one step. Well, now you're back in the unknown again because you've taken another step. And so this whole thing is just going to be baby step, pause, look around. Where am I at? What needs to happen? Baby step. Okay. Baby step, baby step, baby step. And in between those baby steps, each punctuation mark is dotted with an unknown. Okay. I've never been here in this position before because everything is in the unknown that you haven't done before. So as you journey into a game that you've never played, all of it's unknown. Each step is also going to be with the unknown. So if you know that going in, you can say one step, look around, survey. One step, look around, survey. If I blindfolded you and put you in a maze, what you would likely learn to do very fast is to put one step in front of the other, maybe wave your arms around and like feel what's around you. You would take one step and then you would do the same thing again. That's all we're doing here. Some of it's blind to you, but if you take a step and then feel out where you are at now and what circumstantially is happening in the business and around you, then you can go one step at a time and you won't bump into things and get hurt.
Yeah, I've got that one step at a time. Can't be on a run, right? Can't blindly run. I definitely have to slow down metaphorically, not slow down in the brain, slow down here.
Yeah.
Up in here, slow down and sort of do the things that I know that I need to do. You know, start making that list of things that need to, that are on the path and making sure we're one at a time taking care of them.
Yes. And you will experience failure. You will experience success. In my opinion, the skill set of an entrepreneur is not how they handle success or failure. It's how well they ride the waves of both.
Right.
And ideally, you want to ride both about the same. They're one and the same. They come together.
Right.
What's your big takeaway from today?
Well, I mean, you're correct that me having fear of both sides, fearing failure or fear of success and failure, and that fear of both of those is causing me to pause. It is causing me to rethink something that I know is truly what I should be doing is not what I'm doing for my W-2. What that piece is right now is my epoxy countertop business, and what is going to actually expand to. That's why the company is named the way it is, which is, you know, custom surfaces, because surfaces can be any surfaces, a wall, a, you know, cabinet, a desk, a table, floors, surfaces. So the expansion will be adding other pieces to it. And that's the piece that excites me is the expansion of the services we'll be offering, and helping my brother-in-law, also, you know, my sister and their children help change their lives with this venture. So one of my missions in this is to adjust my life with my family, expanded onto adjusting the life of my brother-in-law and sister. And it's the exciting part. It's the petrifyingly scary part also, because, you know, there's a lot riding on that. But I did have the conversation with my brother-in-law afterwards and called him and apologized. Like, look, it was very unprofessional. Like, he's like, well, I was going to call you and tell you to stop sweating. Like, just stop. And he recognized, he says, you don't only have the pressure of the epoxy hardening, you have the pressure of everything, all of it. He says, so I understand.
You're doing great, man. It's the great duality of growth.
Right.
I think you're doing great. The thing that I would recommend, especially because I'll see you this week and we'll get to dig in more at the retreat, is can you write out some of the times in your life where you have leaned into the unknown and it went incredibly well? And just see what you can document, so that we have a little more ammunition when the unknown becomes scary. When you can say, hey, I'm scared of the unknown. Here's what could go wrong. And here's all these things. Of course, we also want to have some backup ammo to say, oh, wait a minute. There's these like 15 moments in my life that have been beautiful miracles, beautiful experiences, happenstances and coincidences that I could never have expected. They happened in the unknown too.
Right.
So it isn't just all negative.
Yeah, definitely not all a negative.
Of course.
I'm not sort of pride myself in not being that negative Nancy. I do try to find the good in the events, and I'm excited for them. Excessively excited for this coming weekend, being at the retreat. Thank you for what you've done over the past multiple months since November, when we sort of started on this journey together. It's been terrific and eye-opening. Thank you for that.
I'm really proud of you, man. It's cool to see how much you've changed and grown.
I appreciate that.
All right. Any other needs before we jump?
No.
Great. We can call it here. I appreciate you coming on, man. I really do. And I'll see you in like 3 days.
You shall. I appreciate it.